You know, you can get the screen where it needs to go. Go ahead and do that. I don't know if you've noticed or not, or if you've been watching, but I have been getting my messages down, and we haven't seen a 15-minute message yet, but it's getting close. Sunday nights. I mean, I looked at Sunday. I didn't know what it was, but afterwards, 22 minutes. Hey, there's an elusive 15-minute message in there somewhere, and we're going to get to see it before the year's up. I'm going to try. Who knows? This might be it with a psalm this size. You know, we might be able to do that. Psalm 133, verse number 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. I pray that you'd help us as we look to it. Lord, that you would just bless. We need you tonight, just like every service and every time that we meet together. But Lord, we pray that you would open up your word to us, help us to be affected, help us to pay attention to what you have for us in your word. Lord, I pray that you just help us to, as it says here, to dwell in unity and have a unified, a harmonious worship here tonight, that we might be able to honor you and uplift our Savior. So, Lord, I pray that tonight you would bless. Help us not to just read and hear about what we should be, but, Lord, that you would help us to be that. Lord, I pray that you just bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment. Now, the ointment that they're talking about here that they use to anoint the high priest with, we'll read about, and you can put your finger there, but you look back into Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, God gave the blueprints. By the way, he does that. He gives the blueprints of his worship. He tells us how to worship him exactly. He gives us the formula, the recipe to worship. It's just not thrown out for anybody's choice. Well, you just worship however you want to worship. No. He gives a very design, the blueprint of what it is, what it takes to worship him. And here he says in Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of all oil, olive, and hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. Now, he's talking about this ointment that they're preparing, and it's the anointing ointment for the consecration of the priest so that he can go in and serve the Lord. He can do the offerings. Thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. It was this oil that they were told to put upon the high priest, which was Aaron. And that's what the example was given when he says it's a blessing for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he gave the example of this ointment that they would put on the high priest, beginning on his head, and it would flow down his entire body and down over his whole being and his outfit. In verse 26, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick. He says, take this, and this is a consecrating ointment upon everything, all of the articles of worship. It was supposed to use this particular ointment. In verse 28, altar of burnt offering. In verse 30, and thou shalt and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now notice what he says about this ointment. Verse 32. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. So in other words, he's saying, you can't go down to Walmart and get it. The same thing. This mixture, the mixture that God gave, and that would smell a certain way, the apothecary, those are the people that make perfumes and ointments. He says, this is how you make this, and this is how it's going to be. It's going to be unique. It's not going to be common. It's not for everybody. This is only for one thing. It's not for everybody to be able to put on and, oh, yes, I've got, ointment number 5, and this is what they use at the temple. No, it's not like that at all. He says, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy. That means separate than anything else. It is apart. It's different. It's different. You're not to... You're not to make this common, and it shall be holy unto you. And then he gives warning in verse 33, whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And he says the same thing about, you know, the certain incense that they make. They had a certain recipe in verse 37, and it's for the perfume which thou shalt make. He shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. So he says, hey, this is special. This is different. This is apart from anything else that you are familiar with. You know what? Nowadays we have church and religions that want to make worship just as common as everything. What kind of music do you like? Well, we'll have that in church. What kind of attitude do you? What kind of language? What's in the common entertainment today? Let's make church just like that. Let's just make it all comfortable. No. He's saying, when you're going to worship me, it's going to be something that's holy or separated, different. And so he's making that point. This ointment was the anointing ointment that was peerless. That means nothing like it. It was different and purposely so. God made it that way. The warning was given not to reproduce it. God didn't want it to be common. He was very clear on that. It was sanctifying. It was set apart. That's what holy means. To be set apart for a specific use. Not just set apart, but set apart for God's use. And it was for God's use, his purposes only. Again, this is in worshiping. This isn't talking about how God wants us to worship. It's not our ideas. You know, everybody has a different opinion on how they should worship God. You know what? I could worship God in the forest, or how I worship God. I worship God here or there, and that's how. Wait a minute. The Lord asked us to meet together around his word, the teaching and the preaching and the instruction of his word, and we're supposed to do that. It's not our own idea. It's not whatever we want to do. Well, you know what? This is how I worship. No. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that give their own ideas. This is what I think, how I'm closest to the Lord. Oh, whoop-dee-dee. Woo, I'm glad that you think that way, But God says, this is how you worship. And it's his ideas, not our ideas. And this was also, this anointing oil was symbolic. It was signifying a consecration. They're ready to serve, and so before they were able to serve, they would take this oil, this anointing oil, anoint the high priest, and he would be prepared for divine use. That verse 30 of Exodus chapter 30, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me, he says. Okay, so that's the ointment. Getting back to our psalm. Psalm 133. He says, this is how this unity is. it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron. The ointment's covering. Here, when God's giving us this, he's using these examples, the example of the anointing oil, but then also dew or fog, and this is what he's saying with that. This ointment is going to cover Aaron. The illustration that David was using in the psalm was one of total cover. Here they would pour, they would be very generous with this ointment. They would pour it on the priest's head, and it would drip down all over his body. As who was it? Can't remember. The guy years and years ago, all over my body. Who was that? Boy, you guys are young punks here. You don't even remember one of the greatest comedians ever. But anyway, so. Anyway, it was, strike that one. Let's move on. This was just to be poured all over Aaron's body. The first anointing oil poured generously over the high priest, covering his whole person and his whole outfit. That's what it says. Then the example of the covering of the dew of a countryside. The dew upon Mount Hermon, upon everything. That's what the fog, when it comes in, it's on everything. That's our psalm. It gives those two illustrations. Everything was covered. Everything was affected. Everything was touched by that ointment or the fog that permeates in the countryside. So is a harmonious spirit and harmonious disposition. Everything is affected by, everything is touched, everything's influenced by when brethren dwell together in unity, together. Everything's affected, if that be the case, that we're in unity. Now tonight I'd like for all of us to, with one accord, to do something. All of us together, all of us on the same page, on the same attitude, I'd like to go ahead and praise the Lord in unity. In oneness, in simplicity, in harmony. What a blessing it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what he says. The lost world sees a clear picture of our Savior when we in church are all together in one mind, one purpose, one praise. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, that love, that common, that family. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." See, it's when we have things right in here, in the church, in our services, that the lost comprehends God's appeal and his purpose. See, they're able to recognize if we're together, if we're unified. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is a great passage of scripture. Here, Paul is talking about this church that he was criticizing in 1 Corinthians. He praises them in 2 because they got things right. But in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, you got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And this. One of the things that they had wrong was everybody was fractured. It was splintered. This guy was over here with this kind of emphasis. This guy was over here. And he was bringing up this. And this guy said, well, I think this is important. I think this is important. And everybody had a different. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, he says, "If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues," meaning here's one person that says, okay, God says this, and he's speaking in this language. And somebody else says, oh, no, God has this message, and he's speaking in this language. And everybody in the whole church speaks in tongues. I was in a service like that when I first got saved. I witnessed to everybody that was in my high school. I was a sophomore when I got saved. I witnessed to everybody, and I never had a witness to me. Nobody ever witnessed to me. Nobody ever gave me a gospel tract. Nobody ever thought I was even within range of the Lord, I guess. So I just witnessed everybody. After I got saved, I gave tracts to everybody. And I came across one who, don't remember his name, Bob, I think his name was. And I said, here, Bob, I want you to consider this. He looked at it and says, hey, what do you know? I'm a Christian too. And listen, I wanted to invite you to my church. Well, he never had invited me to his church at all. But you know, he says, I want you to come to my church. I said, oh, sure, I don't, you know, and I didn't know anything. I was just newly saved. Me and a friend of mine went to his church, a friend that I was with, his name was Buddy. And so me and Buddy went to a service, and I didn't know what it was, a room about this size. There's about 300 people in that room. It's crowded, and it's just like a regular church service. And the pastor comes to a place, and he says, now this is the time when we come to the service where we just all praise the Lord. And that's what he said. And after he said that, the entire congregation erupted in tongues. Everybody was blabbering. And I'm not saying languages. I'm saying gibberish. Everybody all together at once. And we're in the middle of that. Never saw that. I didn't even know what was going on. And Buddy looks at me and he says, "I don't know about you, but this is creeping me out. I'm out of here." And he's gone. I said, "Buddy, don't leave me." It was weird. And that's what Paul's saying. If there's an unbeliever come and one person's over here, one person, and everybody's disjointed, everybody's doing their own thing, then somebody's going to come in there and say, "You guys are nuts. This is madness." That's what he says. He says in verse 23, "If the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy," that means take the word of God and make it clear, teach the Bible. Prophecy is either foretelling or forthtelling the word of God. This is the forthtelling of the word, just like any teacher does or any preacher. They'll take and make clear the word of God. He says, if you go to church and everybody's connected to the message and everybody's together on that message and prophesying, and right here, there's one prophesying. There's one teaching. But you know what? You could agree and say amen. "That's right, preacher. That's right. Amen. Good point. Camp on it." Whatever. Whatever you want to say. I encourage that. I like people to say that, although I'm from the frozen chosen, and whenever I'm in the congregation, I don't say much. But I think you should say a lot. I think you should just go ahead and encourage the preacher. But you know what? If somebody comes in and I'm talking about something maybe very unpopular in the community, but this is what God says, and everybody says, "That's right, I agree," and then here's this person that says, "Wait a minute, everybody is on point here with the truth that we're talking about." That's what he says. He says, "If all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." How is it then, brethren? He gives different examples. He says, if you're all disjointed, I mean, that's not effective at all. But if everybody's on point, if everybody's connected to the message, the truth that's being showcased there, he says, "How is it then, brethren," verse 26, "when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." He says, church, you're disjointed. Everybody's got something else that they think is important. Everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody's doing their own thing. And he says, listen, that doesn't do anything for the lost world. I tell you what does for the lost world, when we're all connected, when we're unified, how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to worship together in unity, to speak together in the same things. When we are disjointed, the world hears static. When we're all tuned together in his purpose, we send out a clear sword of truth that accomplishes God's design. Others are brought to him. That's where he says, hey, then they'll say, that's true. And God will speak to that heart, and God will use that. That's effective when we're together in unity. So the practical question tonight for Wooden Valley Baptist Church is, are we together? Are we on the same page? Do we all want to see the Lord honored and glorified in and through us? Are we together in purpose and in desire? Or do we have a disjointed purpose? Are we fighting with one another for prominence or position or popularity? Well, my class my ideas, or this is my ministry. Nothing is your ministry, and nothing is my ministry. You know what? This is his ministry. I was going to say, this is ours, but actually it's not ours at all. It's his. It's his church, his idea, his blueprint, and his purpose. And that's what we all ought to be connected to, and that's his purpose. So not only is our worship to be peerless, like this anointing oil, it's not to be reproduced nowhere else. You don't find this anywhere, only in church. That's okay, folks. It's okay for church to be different. It's okay for you to have a Bible that has language that we don't exactly use in a common way. Wherefore hast thou gone hither? You know, I don't say that, you know, to my kids when I see them. I say, hey, where you been? You know, but it does say that here. You know what I mean? It's different. That's okay. It's all right. You know why? Because this is the language of Scripture, and it's different. It's revered. It's okay to have a church service that doesn't resemble Saturday Night Live. You know what I mean? Really, that's all right. You know why? Because our worship should be peerless. Should be not like any. You get this nowhere else on earth. And that's when we come together and we worship. And so not only is our worship to be peerless, but also complete, total. It's all through and through. It should touch everything, just like the dew that covers everything and everyone should touch everything and everyone here tonight. Total participation. So what are we unified about? Again, our text, Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What can we be unified as a church about all together in the same thing? I mean, there's people that are, everybody's different. There's people that are unskilled workers. There's people that are scientists or owners of their own business. Or there's people that are married or single. There's children. There's adults. How can we all be unified? Well, what can we be unified about? Well, number one, as a church, we can be unified about His Word. Okay, there you go. Right there, it's His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that it goes on to say, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That should be our everything. We come together, it's all based around the word of God, the Bible. It's the word of God that we're all beholden to. It's the Bible that gives us light and insight and warning and spiritual nourishment, direction, and clarity, and understanding, and light, and joy, and salvation, and promise. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God that, and you know what, as a preacher, I thank God that I have this to preach, that I don't have to come to give you something new out of my store every you know, service. Well, how about this, and how about, what in the world? I don't know how they do that, that don't preach the Bible, you know? How about that, Brother Phil? You know, I'm so glad we have the Word of God, and it's right there. This is it. This is what we're connected to each other with. I cannot debate others if they will not hear the Scripture. Without the Word, we have nothing. It's the Word of God. Somebody says, "Well, I think very good. That plus $6 will buy you a cup of coffee at Starbucks." You know. And today, $8, you know. But everybody has an opinion, and, you know, your opinion and my opinion, you ask two people about God, you get three answers. You know, everybody's got an opinion. Well, so what? It's what does the Bible say? What saith the Scripture? That's the important thing. Here we all definitely are united on the place of the Word of God in our services, in our lives, and are obedient. We're beholden to the Word of God. We respect the Word of God. The place that the Word of God has in our hearts, in our lives, in our services, in our classes, it's the Word of God. Thus, our pursuit and regard of the Word of God unifies us. We can be unified in the Bible, the Word of God. We can be unified in His rule. He wields an acknowledged authority. It's God who is our authority. And thank the Lord for that. It's the Lord. He is sovereign. We recognize that. Sometimes I'll have somebody come to me and complain about God. And they say, well, this is what happened to me. Or this is, you know, preacher, what about this? And I say, excuse me. Ask God about that. He's the one who is in charge. He's the one who metes out the time of every life. You know, sometimes there's a little baby or a child that dies, and you have a, a funeral with a small coffin, and this, it just seems to be so hard, so awful. But you know what? It's God that gives life, gives any life, gives all life. What do you do about that? Well, God gave this one 6 years. God gave this one 60 years. You know what? God's the giver of life. He's sovereign. And you know what? We need to. We must understand here that God is sovereign and he rules. His reign pulls us in the most... you know what? It's the Lord who is in charge. We must understand authority, and that does unify us. And by his reign, he's pulled each one of us out of darkness. I'm so glad that I know the Lord, because it's not like he's a harsh, cruel God. No, no, no. He's a benevolent God. He's a God that has abundant mercy and pardon, and he's on my side, and he works. The actions that he does is for my benefit. We haven't heard Cameron's testimony. Cameron, come up here. I want you to go ahead and quickly just come on up to the platform, and just give us a few minutes and tell you about how you came to the Lord and whatever. I was talking to Cameron the other day, and he's just beaming. For those of you that have been around here for more than 2 years, I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord now, but you may remember this man was a cause for great consternation, I should say, to his parents. But to see the Lord work in this guy, it's just so cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Lord has done?